Hi guys, and welcome to Game of the Year podcast numero uno. This is the first of a long line of Game of the Year podcasts for Error Not Found.
Oh, I'm Clint Prentice.
That's Evan Tognati.
Kill me.
We got Matthew Malewski.
My voice is rising.
And
Meta.
Ryan McGinley.
Matthew is probably going to be dead by the end of this.
Yeah, I'm really counting on it.
I'm on a plane to Florida as we speak.
Who moved?
I'm fed up with this world.
Wait, who moved that kid? Wait a second. Okay, so I think I might have put something. Ah, fuck it. You know what? Whatever. So we're going to have a bunch of these podcasts. We're going to talk a lot. We're going to discuss and deliberate, argue. Oh. It's going to be great. How about we start off with one of my favorite categories, which I don't understand why it's here, but that's fine. It's the first one on the list, so let's just get it out of the way. How about all right?
Start on the downer.
So let's start with Error Not Found's most disappointing game of the year.
Fitting, really, since we're cynical.
So, we should start and end with the same category.
Just
to remind you, these games were shit.
We've got six games on the list so far. We're going to talk it down to the number one most disappointing game. Maybe a runner-up or two.
Yeah.
So most disappointing game, we got Resident Evil 6, Final Fantasy 13 2, Prototype 2, Paper Mario Sticker Star, and Assassin's Creed 3. These are all disappointing games in some respects, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
I just want to start with saying Resident Evil 6 and Final Fantasy 13 2. Really, their disappointment factor, from my perspective, is dependent on how good you think the previous games were. So if,
right. Well, I mean, here's the thing, is there are degrees.
Well, like, okay.
Resident Evil 6 and Final Fantasy 13 2 are so much worse than I thought they'd be.
Yeah.
But
even if
yes, they are, but I think if you're disappointed by a game, you have to go in hoping that it's going to be better than it turns out to be at the end of it.
Right, but I feel like that was true, for me at least, for both of those games, and I reviewed both of them. So of course I was hoping they'd be good.
But you went in with a negativity, and then it was even more negative. I think with a game like Assassin's Creed 3, a lot of us went into it thinking this is going to be a great Assassin's Creed game, it's going to fix a lot of the issues that the Assassin's Creed series has become known for recently, and then to see that it doesn't fix a lot of those and then break some more things.
Like the story.
Like everything.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it is. It is worth noting. I mean, we have a worst game of the year category.
Yeah.
So that's not what this is for exactly.
Right. I would also like to strike Prototype 2 from the list.
I don't think any of us had very high expectations for that.
Yeah.
I liked the first Prototype, and I was hoping that Prototype 2 was going to be a better game than the first Prototype. So
yeah,
for me, it's totally disappointing, because I was excited to play that game, because I did like the first game.
Sure, you might have been a little bit disappointed by it, but I don't think it...
I'm just going to throw this out there. I think our list is Resident Evil 6, Final Fantasy, and Assassin's Creed.
I don't, because...
I will champion...
Sticker Star. Yeah,
Sticker Star... Yeah, I think it has to be at least Sticker Star and Assassin's Creed 3, because Sticker Star was supposed to be the Paper Mario game that we all wanted, and we got that at all.
I guess from... Yeah, I that's fine with me. From my perspective, you may recall our E3 podcasts about that game and how skeptical and...
Right, but you may recall from those same podcasts how excited Ryan and I were.
That's fair.
And so on that note, I also think that we should cut Resident Evil 6 and Final Fantasy 13 2, because I didn't have expectations for either of those games other than negative ones. You didn't either. Sure, they're worse than they were.
I am not going to sit here while Prototype 2 makes it on this list and Final Fantasy does not.
Because I think Prototype
Final Fantasy
2
is one of my favorite game series of all
time. Yeah. It's not a 14 or a 15. It is 13-2. It is 13's sequel. You know, you're coming in with the expectations of 13.
I was hoping it would be better. I read what they were doing to try to make that game better, and
but
I was
you
like,
just
man.
Said you just said that you went in negatively.
Yeah, I did. I did go in negative. That's true. I was skeptical because I didn't like Final Fantasy 13-2, but that is disproportionate. Even with my negative inclinations, how bad Final Fantasy 13-2 is significantly more crushing to me as a person who thinks Final Fantasy as a series is one of the best series of all time than it is for you who kind of liked Prototype.
All right. Okay.
I think we should also scratch Prototype right now because Clint, you were the only one semi excited for it.
Yeah, no, I'm totally cool with that because of Evan's argument. But I think that Assassin's Creed 3 should win.
I agree. Because you liked it. I really thought Assassin's Creed 3 was going to be my game of the year before I went into this because I've liked all of the Assassin's Creeds more than most. That game may not be. Well, I'll just say it's not on my top 10.
Yeah. The game is not good.
Yeah.
It's very broken.
You gave it a 4, Ryan.
Yeah,
you must
I mean,
think it's good.
I think, yeah, but I was really disappointed by
it. Sure, that's fair.
Well, don't say, like, when Quinn said it's not good, you're like, yeah, you're right.
that game.
Like you don't like it.
That game is
there's
so bad.
There's parts of the game that are very not good.
Okay. Undoubtedly, but then.
Yeah.
You know, that's different.
Of the expectations that we had towards any of these games, I think Ubisoft dashed them the most with Assassin's Creed 3.
Because I think
Sticker Star kind of fucked up in some really profound and baffling ways. I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 is still fundamentally an Assassin's Creed game.
But I think going in with your expectations of Sticker Star, once they started announcing how the combat was going to work, people were skeptical about it more.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it was easier, at least from my point of view, to sort of pick apart and see, like, this isn't going to work
in
Paper Mario Sticker Star.
And yet everything that was coming out about Assassin's Creed 3 sounded really cool, really interesting, and everything we had heard going into that game was really exciting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's part of that game's problem, too, is how disjointed it all feels and how much shit is in it. And
how
like it never really finds its way among like all of these different concepts. Like there's crafting in that game,
and
there's
the menus
there's,
are oh,
and
they're so...
like
before we go any further, like while we're talking about Assassin's Creed 3, we should just say there will be spoilers for.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally up front spoilers through the rest of the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
I just want to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
Assassin's Creed 3 is our winner.
We got runners up of Paper Mario and okay.
Fossil.
Does anybody have an objection to that?
No.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Assassin's Creed 3, most disappointing game.
Congratulations, Assassin's Creed 3. You are the redheaded stepchild of the gaming industry this year.
So you got that in common. What up?
That's why I like it so much, actually, compared to you guys.
The cynical clap. Let's give it to him.
Yeah. I'm clapping with mittens on because it's fucking cold.
All right.
So you wear mittens inside?
Let's.
Yeah, my heater's broken.
Oh,
let's
I
move on.
That.
Yeah. Well, do your research, damn it.
Let's move on to the next category.
What's going to win?
I think we all know what's going to win.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Clearly,
it is
the winner of Silent Hill.
It is 2012's 20-odd Game of the Year. This category goes to a game that we played in 2012 that came out in the last 12 years, or the last 11 years, I should say. So 2000 to 2011 that we played and fell in love with. You know the nominees. We've got Silent Hill Shattered Memories, Persona 3, and Persona 4. Persona 3 is the winner.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing. Give me a minute here.
Wait, here's the thing, though.
Nope.
Nobody else has played Persona 4 other than you.
Okay, granted that I understand, and I understand Persona 4 is not going to win, but at least give me a chance to acquit myself here.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Because here's my argument. Persona 4 is, first of all, a better game. I believe that so strongly. And Clint, I see you marking Persona 3 as the winner. Just hold on a minute. I think as far as 20-odd games of the year are concerned, I think Persona 4 is a more relevant choice given Persona 4 Golden's release this year as well.
I don't care about relevancy. What game have we all played and all absolutely fell in love with this year, regardless of relevancy? It is Persona 3. Like, you played Persona 3, totally convinced me to play Persona 3, and Matthew as well, and then we convinced Ryan to play Persona 3, and we all love that game. I haven't played enough Persona 4 to even come close to, like, saying one way or the other.
Okay, fine. Give it to Persona 3.
All right.
It is very likely, looking back, you'll be correct, though, Evan.
Yeah, it is very likely, but that's what 2013
For all we know, Persona 4 could be our 2013's 20-aught game.
I hope it is.
Oh, this is a next interesting category.
So this one's probably going to be our first...
We should officially announce it, someone.
Persona 3 is Aeronaut Found's 2012 20-odd Game of the Year.
Woo! Yukari-chan!
Yay, Yukari.
It's actually Shin Megami Tensei Persona 3, Fess.
Fuck you.
Not portable because...
Portable.
Shit. Not portable because you... I
hate you.
Fucking idiot.
I hate you so much. All right, here's going to be the first nail-biter. I think this one we might be a little bit contentious on. Best soundtrack. We've got six nominees here. I don't know if we should nominate the last one, but whatever. We got Fez, Hotline Miami, Max Payne 3, Gravity Rush, Mass Effect 3, and Persona 4 Golden.
I'm not going to hear you claim that Persona 4 Golden couldn't be nominated here. Because they released a goddamn soundtrack that is nothing but new original material from Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah, I think it's fair it's nominated.
Alright.
Whether or not it stays is...
I don't think Hotline Miami should be on this list.
What the
fuck off.
No.
Fuck off right now, because that's what I was going to say.
Hear me
be
out.
The winner.
No, hear me out. It's a great goddamn soundtrack, but it's all licensed music.
Irrelevant. It is, in ways, it is even more impressive that they got licensed music that fits that game.
But the
so
rest,
well,
but the rest of these soundtracks are all composed directly for that game, and
okay,
I think, and
whatever.
I think do a better job of impacting that game. Like Fez's soundtrack, for instance, impacts that game so greatly because
I Hotline Miami soundtrack is Hotline Miami.
It is integral in that game.
It impacts Hotline Miami more than any other game soundtrack.
Yes,
so?
Absolutely.
How so?
It's that game is all about style. It's all about putting you in a certain mindset. This sort of just weary, weird, surreal, like cocaine-addled Miami 1987.
Desensitizing you. The music directly desensitizes you to that game, and it very purposefully.
I think that was just all the drugs you were doing while playing it, man.
Okay, let's come back to Hotline Miami.
Let's knock some of these off first.
Okay, I don't think Max Payne 3 should be on this list.
I don't know what a Gravity Rush soundtrack is like. So
Gravity Rush is really good. It probably shouldn't be on the list.
No,
I'm willing to strike that. But for the record, I really like the music in Gravity Rush.
I will also accept Max Payne 3 being scratched.
Because I think Max Payne 3 has a really good song and a really good cue.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't...
Yeah, the build up isn't... It's good, but it's not particularly amazing. Yeah.
I mean, I think the cue itself is amazing.
Yeah, there's only a few songs that I think... Outside of that song, right. I remember directly in the game.
So I want to make we can cut that. Yeah. Mass Effect 3's soundtrack is amazing.
Mass Effect 3's soundtrack is really good.
It is very good. Really, really like the new theme that they brought in. Like, it's a mix of the old theme with the. Is that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really good, and there are moments in that game whenever a musical cue starts off, like it's an emotional moment, and it brings back like numbers from past Mass Effects, and then intertwines them with new stuff. It's a great soundtrack. I think it should be one of the three at least.
Scratch Persona 4 because none of us haven't heard it.
I've listened to it. It's very good, but. You know,
there's also
for it's the, a JRPG I'm not soundtrack. You know what I mean?
That's not fair. I don't think there are many JRPGs.
I mean, just to compliment the Persona series. Before we started recording this, I played a little bit of Persona 3, and I just sat at the menu screen listening to the music, or like I didn't hit the start button so I could listen to the theme song for a good.
Okay, rather what I should have said, it's more good Persona music.
That's fair. I'm fine with taking it off the list, but Persona 4 Golden's new music, especially in the context it's used, where there's this whole new month of January where it's snowing all the time, and just this really like weird sort of sorrowful music is playing behind it, and it's extremely effective.
Also, Shadow World is a really nice little tune.
Well, yeah. Hey, Evan, I'll let you know during 2012 or 2013's 20-aught soundtrack of the year, all right?
Are we confirming that as a category for next year?
Can we just have a whole game of the year celebration of from earlier years?
Yeah.
At that point, yeah, I think Persona 4 Golden soundtrack is excellent. In a lot of really great ways, but I'm fine with it not being on this list.
Okay.
Which means we're down to our final three, which is Fez, Hotline Miami, and Mass Effect.
This is true.
I think Fez is better than Mass Effect.
I think right now, I can only remember one track from Mass Effect.
I can remember two, personally, but
which is the one?
I agree. It's not super memorable.
Like it's really good, and that music at the end is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think Fez is better than Hotline Miami.
So do I, Clark.
This is where we're gonna get contentious.
Yeah, there's gonna be blood over this.
But hold on, wait, Ryan, you haven't played Hotline Miami.
No, but I've seen enough gameplay of it that I know what the soundtrack is to that game.
And you have the soundtrack, don't you?
Of Hotline Miami?
Yeah.
No.
Get that shit. To put it bluntly.
Yo, DJ, spin that shit.
I think Fez's soundtrack is excellent. I think it builds up that world and that atmosphere really well. I think a lot of it is pretty ambient, which I think is fine.
I think Hotline Miami soundtrack has the bonus of not only being perfect for that game, but also just being great to listen to on its own. I think that's nice.
Right, like Fez's music. And this is a weird distinction. I don't even know that I fully am down with what I'm about to say. But Fez music distanced from Fez isn't that great to listen to.
But that also goes back to the whole licensed argument, where you can just say that about almost any game that has licensed music.
Yeah, well, Kanye West Power is great to listen to.
Would you have nominated Saints Row the Third for best soundtrack?
No.
Yes. If you say that licensed music can be like a contender for the best soundtrack,
you feel pretty passionately about how Saints Row uses its licensed music.
Yes.
So that is what we are saying about Hollywood.
But I think if we're gonna go back to that argument, I think Saints Row the Third has great music cues, but I don't think it has a great... Well, it has great menu music, so you know what? That's totally... Saints Row the Third, game soundtrack of the year.
I mean, if you're giving a game points for just being able to be listened to, a licensed soundtrack being able to...
Yeah,
be
I'll take that.
Oh, no. That's just a...
You might as well put Dance Central 3 in there and give it the winner. I mean, if that's what it's coming down to, that's...
Well, true. Yeah,
That's not true.
I feel like the best soundtrack should be used in along with the game.
Okay,
in,
I understand
in the game's
that. I think
context.
Here's the thing: Hotline Miami has all of these parts that congeal into just madness, into just dizzying, wonderful madness,
and
that all sort of collapses in the last third of the game. And the music is integral to that happening. Like, Fez's soundtrack is amazing because it gives you this really keen sense of place. And whenever the music changes according to, like, the scenery, it's really nice and impressive, but it's still ancillary in a way that I feel like Hotline Miami's music isn't. It's like in Hotline Miami, the music that is playing is like, it's part of the reason you start feeling so icky about playing Hotline Miami.
I think it actively distances you from the acts that you're performing in that game, but you can kind of see that. And that's
I mean, we'll talk more about Hotline Miami later, but sort of the whole point of that game is to rope you into having a real fun time killing people and then be like, you're kind of a fucking asshole. Like,
if you feel that Hotline Miami soundtrack is that integral to the game, I will be okay with giving Hotline Miami the soundtrack.
When I think about the soundtracks that really stood out to me this year, like, I think, especially in a game with as clear a focus as Hotline Miami, that soundtrack does nothing but lend to that focus in a really meaningful way.
That's fair. I mean, on the flip side of that, you could also say Fez almost gives just a good backdrop for when, like you said, for Hotline Miami in the later third, you and Clinton fell into this madness of what's going on in Fez. And that music, while not as integral to the gameplay process and what's going on during the game, it gives a really nice backdrop to while you're trying to figure out all these puzzles and everything.
And it just sort of comes down to what, like, your priorities are in terms of this category, because Fez's soundtrack is great for what it's trying to do, and it accomplishes it wonderfully, and Hotline Miami's a lot more in your face about its music and its presentation, which I think makes the fact that it works so well just a little bit more impressive.
Okay.
But I mean, I am still willing to hear any other arguments about Fez if you guys want to try to... I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Fez. But...
Clint?
You know how Fez takes this atmosphere, this, like, pixelated old school atmosphere and crafts an entire world about it and then turns it on its head whenever you have this 3D element added into it, but you still have that really defined art style.
Yes.
The music is as defined as that art style. Everything is synthesized like an old, 8-16-bit like game. And in that way, it, as well as being ambient and world building, also puts you in, it doesn't necessarily affect like how you play the game, but it affects your memories of the game. It affects your understanding of the game, like the ending of that game, for instance. It wouldn't work without that soundtrack. It wouldn't work without
the
music.
The true ending.
Either ending, they're the same thing. Only one goes out and the other goes in.
Right.
Sure. Which is a really cool concept that we might get into later.
Yeah, I fucking love the ending of Fez so much.
But like, both of these soundtracks are fantastic and totally worthy of the award either way. But by you saying, like, Hotline Miami desensitizes you into, for the gameplay, like, as an act of bringing you through the story, I think that Fez, it doesn't create a sense of madness or anything that the puzzles then create, like, that you solve later on down the road, but it helps as a guideline. It helps to ground you so that you don't go crazy whenever you have a map that isn't exactly as comforting as you would like, but that music, you understand where you are. Like, you say what you will about ambient music, but where you are in that world based on that music is very key for you to understand, like where you are in relation to, you know, other parts. Like, hey, I'm in the graveyard. The graveyard theme is playing, like death, the song Death is playing, and I know that it is totally perfect for that area. And then I realize, okay, yeah, so that's near, you know, the lighthouse and the tree. So, like, the music for me puts me in the place. Yes, it is ambient, but it puts me more into that world, and I feel more connected into that world than I am desensitized by Hotline Miami soundtrack through the gameplay.
But if you were to say,
like, based on the game and how it's used within the game, like the argument for Hotline Miami, you know, being towards story and being towards like desensitization, for Fez, it is being for world building, being for like, yes, ambience, but really good ambience, really full and rich ambience.
And
I
don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but I also think it's, I can't think of any game that uses Hotline's, like, a soundtrack in its game quite like Hotline Miami uses its soundtrack.
The way you say it, Hotline Miami uses its game in a very deliberate way that other games don't even try to do.
Yes. Very much so. And
so you can't say, oh, well, Fez didn't do this with this soundtrack, so it just can't be as good.
Right.
That's not what I'm trying to say.
I'm saying that almost sounded like what Matthew was trying to say.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, what pushes Hotline Miami over Fez for me is just that I can't picture Hotline Miami without its soundtrack, and I can picture Fez without its soundtrack. Like, that.
I can't picture either without their soundtrack. Like, if I'm being totally honest, like, yeah, Hotline Miami, really fucking amazing soundtrack. And I can't picture the game without it, but on the other hand, like, Fez is just, like, I can't go through that game without that music attached to it. Like, Phil Fish, he's crazy, motherfucking insane, but he said the first time that he heard the soundtrack that the guy gave him, like, the first track that he was going to do for the soundtrack, he was moved to tears because of how much it was in sync with what he was doing with the game.
Sure.
And also, Evan, could you imagine trying to sit there and puzzling out all that stuff in complete silence?
I don't know if he was saying, like, complete silence, like, he can see it detached from the soundtrack, but saying, like, he could see other music in that game other than what's there.
It's just that the dividing line, which, once again, I think Fez's soundtrack any other year would win for me. But it's like Hotline Miami. Every piece of it is furthering a specific goal, and the soundtrack, like, if you took any piece of Hotline Miami away, it would sort of break apart. Like, if you took the weird, like, camera shake away, it would fall. If you took the pixel art away, it would be weird. If you took away the sound, like,
there.
I don't know that that I fully understand the comment of it, you know, pushing you through what it's trying to do with the story. I don't know if I really get that. Like,
it's message rather.
Okay, it's message, but I mean, there are very, like, distinct, like, I can remember, okay, so the apartment theme, you know, it's really slow, and the same with, like, whenever you go to
you
the
store. You
want
to talk about memorability of the music?
But, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I remember how that music is used, but I don't remember, like, moving to a different level and then being, and then going somewhere with where
that
story
goes. Well, I mean, to be clear, you didn't.
But I know what happens in that game.
Right, but you didn't get there.
But I don't care about experience. Like I know how that game goes, and I listen to the soundtrack of that game while watching somebody play through the rest of it because I just didn't want to complete. Like I could not complete that game because it was too hard for me. But that doesn't mean that I didn't go through the story and listen to the soundtrack in relation to the game itself.
Sure. I mean.
This also, if you want to play the "you didn't get there" card, Matthew didn't even touch Fez. So,
yeah, you know, I can't speak for
no. I played half an hour for the record. For the record, I played half an hour.
That's not Fez. The way it's that's not the part of Fez.
Okay, but I've played some Fez and I've heard the music in Fez. That's don't say I
and you have
it.
And
I've
Brian,
it.
you have played no Hotline Miami. So
what up?
Let's not throw watching stones one, here. Bitch.
No, I'm just saying, if you're playing one card, like, I understand I didn't play Hotline Miami, but you got to play the card both ways.
Right, yeah, not disagreeing.
Tell me what it is about the sound, like, where does that soundtrack go that mimics where the game goes? Like,
because
I don't see
just,
that.
It's crazy and sleepy, and it gets fast and then slows down. The way they use the sound so that every time you kill everybody in a room, the music cuts out and it's just this agonizing static and you have to walk through your mess and go back to your car. Like, there are parts in that game where it's all about just amping you up like you're listening to dubstep right before the drop, and then it drops and it's the worst feeling in the world. Like, and obviously it didn't affect you in the same way, which is not something I can really convince you of, because, I mean, that's...
Well, no, yes, it cuts off, and yeah, that is impactful. That is, like, a major part of that game, that the music cuts off after you've killed the last person, you have to wade through all the bodies, but that's a different argument. That is like saying we can't have Max Payne 3 in here because it has a really good music cue and not necessarily good music. Like, that music cue is really impactful, but in Hotline Miami, it cutting to silence of that static, that is a music cue. That's not...
Yeah, I'm saying the rest of the music is there to sort of... It's both very thematically relevant in how sort of weird, like, techno 80s dance club a lot of it is. In a way that feels very frivolous at the time, and sort of the way they spin that on its head to make it like you're having a really good time when you're killing people to that music.
Yeah.
And that's just without the cut. I mean, that's just a fact. Like, it amps you up. It gets you angry. Because you're dying so much and you just want to murder everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do. And the way it manipulates its sound to sort of manipulate the player, and the way that plays into the sort of overarching theme of the game, which is sort of, you know, developers like manipulating the player in a certain way and, you know, players manipulating the game. Like, it's all very impactful. Also, the music's just really fucking good. if I want to get a little less abstract with it, everything on that soundtrack is just really remarkable.
It's gold. Yeah.
So, you know,
that title.
I'm not denying that. Like, I'm not saying that. I was just trying to come up with, like, I wanted that qualification of, like, why is that music impactful? If it, like, yeah, you're listening to dubstep before the drop, and then when the drop hits, you're depressed. That's totally true. That's totally happening. And yeah, Hotline Miami does that. The soundtrack does amp you up. But, like, you were saying that it leads somewhere, and I don't think it leads anywhere. I don't think Fez does either. But on the flip side, with Fez,
the place where it leads is the drop. It's all about settling you into this rhythm and then forcibly breaking you out of the rhythm.
And I mean, it's if do you mean like does the music like reflect what is happening?
I'm pretty sure because, Evan said something to that respect earlier on that the music was reflecting where the story went.
I mean, everything when you're not killing dudes, and you're just living your life. You're totally the music totally fits that. And then
yeah, the music is really well suited beyond like
yeah, and the credit scene is music, also yeah.
And this is your crazy sleepy apartment / go get pizza, and there are corpses all around of the people you've killed. Music.
Okay, yes, these are all true things, and then I have to say, with Fez, like, those things still exist, you know? There's the lighthouse thing, it's really happy, it's really open, and you feel, you feel really good about it. Whenever you first get control and you're moving through the world, the music is impactful because it makes you feel like you're doing something right. Whenever you're jumping up that long pillar at the top of the game, you're collecting the pieces, and those pieces are like little note hits onto the music, and it really makes you feel really good, and you're awesome. Like, but by the end of that game, you understand like the music isn't there to make you feel good. The music is there as a key for you. The music is there to inform you of where you are and those environments. Like as you move through, like the sewer levels have very deep tones to them. The death level, like the graveyard level, is very somber. The treehouse level is each area has just a different feeling to it based on the music alone. When you combine it to, so I'm not saying that Hotline Miami doesn't do that. I'm saying that Fez does it as well.
Sure, but I feel like the stuff, and maybe I'm not elucidating this particularly well, but I feel like the stuff that Hotline Miami is doing is more remarkable than that. Like Hotline Miami isn't just about you're in a certain place and there's different music. It's got a very specific like tempo to it that is ultimately very important, I think, to how impactful that game is, because I mean it creates like this nightmare world where nobody is happy ever, and all you do is get these phone calls from weird people and you go murder everybody, and it's like the soundtrack to a David Lynch movie. It's like it's very important to sort of the surreality of it and just the queasiness of everything, which I think is harder to pull off in a way. It's harder to make something like that really unnerving than it is to make something that is, you know, once again, very impressive. But a lot of games have that sort of thing where you can recognize where you are based on the music that's playing. I mean, hell, the Ocarina of Time did that to a certain degree. Not to cheapen its success in Fez, but I just think Hotline Miami is more worth praising for what it does.
I want to have this talk because I like this talk.
Okay.
So I just,
okay.
Like, but I think a lot of how Hotline Miami, like a lot of those moments that really grab you in Hotline Miami is because of like that cut, because of that cut to silence, you know?
But I mean, if we're going to start making that distinction, then like, what's impactful in Fez, the music or when the music changes to signify you're somewhere new? I'm saying that like,
I mean, I he's saying that you're saying that the music is memorable because of that cut, and
I'm not saying that it's memorable. What I'm saying
or
is,
rather effective.
You're saying that what's impactful is that cut, but all I'm saying is that your argument for Fez is based on, like, this music is a key to inform you where you are. And so, like, is that... does that work because of the music or because of the change skipping between areas?
Like, no, each area has a different theme, but that's different than, like, your like a cut as you move back through the level.
I don't think it is, really. Like, I think it's easy to say that, but I think that...
yeah, it's easy to say, because I just said it, I just made words, and they came out, and it was like...
it's easy to say a lot of things.
I just feel like, at that point, I don't even really understand the distinction you're making, because you're saying, like, this music works, but what's memorable, or what's really great in Hotline Miami is when the music stops playing, but I don't... you know, that is worth praising if they stop their soundtrack in points that's good. Like, I don't...
right.
I don't see how that's any less remarkable than this music is a key to tell you where you are in the world.
But the music stopping playing is not the soundtrack, it's the lack of music.
No, it is. I think it is. It is the track of sound that plays over the game.
Yeah, and it is... a song from the soundtrack, a sound effect, and then another song from the soundtrack. So it's definitely from the soundtrack.
Right. Like, it's still fluid. Like, it's... and, I mean, if you want to get technical about it, I'm pretty sure on the Hotline Miami soundtrack, at least the one that I got, there is just the static that plays. When it,
yeah.
It's not silence.
It's like noise. Kind of like that.
Can you say that again? I didn't get that one again.
It goes...
One more time, really.
I mean...
it's obvious that this is not going to work out.
No, I'm not even... like, No. I'm not. I'm just having a discussion. Like,
we're just having a discussion, Ryan, adults.
I don't think
at this point we're arguing about these two. I think we're talking about these two soundtracks, and it's great that we can have this kind of talk about soundtracks in video games. Like, I like having this talk, and I want to, if we're going to award a soundtrack, I want to go through the finer points of the soundtrack and why it is that we're awarding it.
No, but what I was going to say is I don't think it's going to work out, and we should probably cut Mass Effect 3 because that still hasn't been cut yet.
Don't worry about it. I've got this stuff covered.
Aren't we pretty much going with 3 nominees, 1 winner?
Yes, we're going with 1 winner, 2 runners-up. That's why the rest... for those of you, this is a visual part of the podcast. That's why the rest of the nominees, as you can see, have been crossed out except for 3.
Okay. I thought we were going to cross out Mass Effect 3 also.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 is on our list.
Yeah. I think at this point we should move on. It goes Mass Effect 3, Fez, Hotline Miami.
Boom. High five, right. Evan.
Mass Effect 3, best soundtrack.
I went from bottom to top there.
Yeah, I die.
And Matthew, don't like play sides. I'm totally for Hotline Miami. I just want to have the talk about Fez too.
Yeah, we should at least, even if we don't care about this ordering as passionately, for the listeners, we should at least elaborate on our opinions so they know why we're doing this.
Right.
So, yeah, best soundtrack goes to Hotline Miami, runners-up Fez, and Mass Effect 3.
All right, so we're moving on to the next category. This one's going to be interesting because there are a lot of different types of multiplayer this year. So best multiplayer.
There's one that's not even a game.
I know.
Yeah. Which I kind of have a problem with this being on our list.
No, it's a game. It's totally a game. It's totally a game.
Because it's not a game.
Peter Molyneux says it's a game, all right?
Oh, okay.
Best multiplayer, and it's in the games category of the iTunes store, so don't even. Okay. Best multiplayer of the year, we've got Halo 4, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Hitman Absolution, and Curiosity.
Which is promptly crossed out.
No, it's not. Nope.
Let's get rid of Curiosity.
No. I think it is something to be talked about.
Okay. Talk about it.
Let's talk.
Yeah, as the biggest fucking scam in human history.
It's not a scam. Is the wrong word.
I think. Okay, I think it is insanely. It's the biggest... I think it's insane. I think it's stupid. But I think it's so interesting that people are actually clicking away at a cube to try and get it a prize inside because they're uniquely curious as to what
it is. Oh, nice.
That's interesting. It's not the best multiplayer.
Ryan,
here.
Ryan added something, so we should go through. Do you want to add any nominees to this list?
I would like to add a nominee to this list.
So wait, do we not have a best co-op category?
I don't think we do.
Okay.
Surprising.
I was trying to think what co-op game I played. Yeah, I would like to add Journey to this list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the...
You can play Journey without the co-op and have a different but similar experience.
Well, wait. Do we want to split this off into a co-op category?
No. What other co-op games are there? Like, you can throw in Borderlands 2 and...
Resident Evil 6.
Curiosity.
I mean, there was Mass Effect this year.
Where are you getting? Where are you getting? I'm not...
I'm just saying, man.
I'm
it's
just
fine
saying.
You don't want to do it. I'm
I
just,
don't really want to do it.
Hey, okay. Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, that's true. That is the best co-op of the year.
I'm just saying... You say that Journey can be played without multiplayer, but the multiplayer makes that game a lot better.
Matthew's going to have something to say about this.
Yeah, he's right.
Who's right?
Oh, Ryan.
Okay.
I don't think it should be on this list. It is a unique experiment, and it totally works, but I don't think it
I think it should definitely be on this list.
Yeah, I'm
especially
I'm
when our other two games, apart from Halo 4 that we have here, are Assassin's Creed 3 and Hitman. I think Journey deserves a spot on this list.
I don't think that we should be nominating Assassin's Creed 3.
I would agree with that. I don't think Assassin's Creed 3 does enough in this multiplayer that is new.
To like learn best,
and I don't think the multiplayer is not even that great anymore.
Sure, but best multiplayer, I think. We should also factor in, like, a level of uniqueness. And I think we see that with Hitman, and we see that with Journey.
I'm going to nominate Nintendo Land, and we're going to have this talk.
Oh, shit.
Talk about this
talk.
I've
been avoiding this.
Nintendo Land is great, great multiplayer.
Yeah, but it's...
It's multiplayer.
Here's what I'm... I'll just lay this out here. Here's what I'm interested in. Awarding in the best multiplayer category.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can have fun playing a multiplayer game with people they like.
Okay.
That is a given. People could have fun playing Resident Evil 6 if they liked each other well enough, which
Hold
obviously
on. Wait,
Quentin and I
if you're gonna if you're fun. Gonna say that is that I'm gonna say I don't like my sister and I had fun playing Nintendo Land with her.
Okay.
Let's just talk about our family issues now.
Okay. Here's
I think that she is full of herself. I think that she talks too much. Her laugh is super annoying.
Okay, just calm.
Let it out.
I think what we should be praising in the best multiplayer category is sort of like the infrastructure and design of the multiplayer in said game.
Okay, then Assassin's Creed 3 gets cut because that menu system is atrocious.
And I think Nintendo Land, by virtue of...
Nope.
It's... I'm going to say it.
You push a button, and then it comes up, and you can choose the game that you want to play just by clicking on.
Are you saying you want to open up Best Soundtrack again?
Yes, I do. Actually, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I will
vote for Nintendo Land.
I think we should go back a step and nominate Nintendo Land for Best Soundtrack.
Well, I'm sorry, but we're not doing that.
I think that it's a great song. And it's worthy
God, it's so good.
Of mention.
Oh God, you're swaying me.
I know, it's just...
I mean, not to be better than Hotline Miami, but...
That could beat out Mass Effect.
Right?
Yeah. No, okay. Okay, stop. Just stop.
I'm not...
Do you have the loading music? We can still get him over.
I don't think we should give best multiplayer to any Wii U game because of what is a core problem with the Wii U, which is the inane way it handles controllers.
No, No.
It is.
Because that is the way the console is set up.
Doesn't mean it's okay.
It doesn't mean it's okay, Ryan. It does not mean it's okay. But the way that Nintendo Land incorporates multiplayer, whether or not you're using Wiimotes or the actual gamepad itself, it is fun. It is damn fun. And it is some of the best multiplayer.
But it is fun in spite of the hardware.
Yes, it is fun in spite of the hardware, because the hardware is not that impressive. But what it has is a really, really solid, fun game.
Also, like, half of them aren't, really.
They're okay,
yeah.
But the multiplayer ones specifically are good.
Also, the multiplayer ones specifically are all kind of the same game.
Then that one game is worthy of, like, that is a fun-ass fun concept.
Okay, granted. I don't think it's better than the strides in sort of, like, the weird, like, Hitman horse-style thing Hitman Absolution has going, which is really interesting and really well done in terms of how you interface with it.
I don't think it's better than that.
Totally. Journey's co-op is both sort of thematically impactful and is really seamless with the way it handles it, where you never see their gamer tags until the end and they just sort of drop in and out. And I think Halo 4 is just an incredibly impressively designed refinement of Halo multiplayer. And I think those are all better than Nintendo Land.
I don't think that Journey is better than Nintendo Land.
Jesus.
But Journey's multiplayer is such like a part of Journey.
Yeah. I'm not even the biggest Journey fan here, but you can play Journey by itself.
Experience of... So you can play Nintendo Land by yourself.
You can't play Chase Mario.
You can't play the Nintendo Land multiplayer by yourself.
No, you can't.
That's why it's multiplayer.
I think this game should be nominated for best multiplayer because it's shit without other people.
Look, that's a good one.
Journey, like, there is a whole aspect of Journey that you will not get if you do not play it multiplayer, which is the way it fosters communication without any sort of voice, which is incredibly impressive. And, I mean, you have explained your stories about how, like, you know, you got to the end of this game and you were just, like, waiting for a while because you didn't want to fall behind, and how crushing it was when you lost your partner. And just, like, all of that is more emotionally impactful than co-op has ever been, because co-op is sort of innately, like, jokey.
But on
headsets and make fun of stuff.
Flip side, it's really impactful whenever you're playing co-op with your mom, and then your sister loses, and you get to punch her in the face.
I don't think you're playing that game right.
It's literally impactful.
Like, yeah.
There's an impact. I felt it on my knuckles.
I think it's just so cool that I can bring a lot of people together that don't play games, and they can all have a fun time, the exact same fun.
I would like to nominate Wii Sports as the multiplayer of the year.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go on record and say that I'm a person who plays games, and I want to have fun with things that were made for people who play games. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome that you had a great time with people who don't play games, but I do. And I played some of those Nintendo Land minigames, and I was like, this is neat, but I don't ever want to play it again because I have better games to play.
I'm not talking... Those are the single-player ones. I'm talking about the multiplayer ones specifically.
Played some of the multiplayer ones.
I don't care what you played, all right? I'm talking about what I played.
Jeez.
And what I played was a damn fun game.
It's fun. That's fine. It is not worthy of being in the same company as the other three games on this list, which one of them, once again, wonderful refinement. Another is a really interesting take and gets around some usability issues in a really smart way. And the other is just sort of revolutionary with how it handles co-op. Nintendo Land is none of those things. It is, at best...
Nintendo Land is very revolutionary. It has asymmetrical gameplay.
Okay, Nintendo Land is revolutionary in the sense that it's the first game on this system to do that. That makes it revolutionary by default.
But that doesn't impact
its ability to be revolutionary, Matthew. If it's the first game on the system to do that thing, it's still revolutionary because it is the first game to ever do that kind of thing.
That's true. I guess I don't feel like the thing it's doing is as...
I'm not complaining. Like, I'm complaining about that justification that Matthew just made.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm like, sorry. I just shouldn't talk.
I mean, you can't say, like, the first phone ever invented wasn't revolutionary because phones were made after that.
Okay, yeah, I get it. It's a faulty argument. You got me. Do you want me to clap?
I don't feel like I...
I don't even think that it has to win, but I think it needs to be one of the three.
No.
I don't feel like that, because it's not that... I don't know, man. It's just not that cool.
It's very cool.
It's just not... You know.
I was going to say, yeah, Clint, it was worth mentioning, but I don't think it's one of the three.
No, like, it's one of the three.
In a way... To take that hardware and say that we're going to have a game where one person only looks at the screen and everybody else looks at the television is as simple-minded as using that hardware gets.
That's a good point.
You're now judging the system again. Like, you need to take yourself away from the system.
But Nintendo Land is the system. It's mini games that are dedicated to showing off the functionality of the system. You couldn't talk about Wii Sports and not talk about the Wii.
But it's still really fun mini games that, yeah, use the caveats of the system to its advantage.
They're integral. It wouldn't work without it. It wouldn't work without the hardware. You couldn't play those games on an Xbox.
Right. You can't. But they're fucking fun.
Well, the three multiplayer ones are that are all.
There are
sort of
four multiplayer ones that I really liked.
I'm not disputing that you had a fun time with Nintendo Land. I'm not disputing that Nintendo Land is a well-made game. It is not one of these three. Like, I have argued this as much as I feel like I can argue, because
I don't get it, and there's no way that I can convince you of it, because you were so hard pressed because, like, for some reason, like, it doesn't gel with you, and I don't I can totally understand that, because you're not a social person. You don't like being around family members and stuff, and that's fine.
Sorry, I just like things that are a little higher concept than
and you know what? Hey, it's totally cool if you want to play through a co-op game and not talk to somebody. That's totally fine. But
what?
I think yes, Matthew. I'm...
Tell me about all the online multiplayer functionality of Nintendo Land.
That doesn't that argument shouldn't even be. Like a thing, just because it is couch co-op, couch multiplayer rather than online multiplayer, that shouldn't fucking impact your decision. Whether or not it's fun, whether or not it's interesting, whether or not it's just a cool
concept. This argument has just gotten sort of petty at this point, so I figure I'll just throw out any sort of petty point I have.
Yeah, me and Ryan like this.
Let's keep going.
I don't know what you want to hear here, man. I don't think you're getting Nintendo Land through.
I don't think you're getting Journey through. And we're going to stop this whole thing right now.
Three out of the four people want Journey.
This is a conversation for the listener's benefit and because it's fun to argue with you, but that you can't somehow muscle Nintendo Land through when you're the only one who wants it on the list.
Yeah. When three out of four people want Journey and one out of four people want Nintendo Land, Nintendo Land loses.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't. And it's just like but the thing is, I can't even tell you why it is. Like, I can't. There's no longer a way for me to craft an argument that is going to impact you and say, yeah, sure, put Nintendo Land on there, because you are so biased towards this game, towards my opinion of this game, and towards that hardware.
Okay. Any sort of compelling argument.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
I fold to good arguments all the time. That's some bullshit reasoning, my friend.
I didn't play Nintendo Land. I'm not voting for it because I didn't play it. I don't know what the multiplayer is like. I don't know how much fun it is.
I did play Nintendo Land, and if I thought the multiplayer was better than the three on this list, I would be championing it. There's no bias here. I just don't like it as much.
I was talking to Matthew, okay?
I played Nintendo Land. That's the only Wii U game I've played.
He said
I played
he liked it Nintendo Land too.
Yeah, and he liked it. So Matthew, jump on my side and let's get this thing over with.
No, I don't think it's as good as. Well, I can't say anything about Hitman, but I definitely don't think it's as good as Halo.
Matthew, 4. All right, then can you just forsake all your integrity and argue with me?
All right, Matthew. Okay, so then get on my side and let's get Hitman off this list. How about that?
I like the sound of Hitman's more than I. I really do. But I can't say.
Wait, Clint.
I feel icky.
You were just so dedicated of getting Journey off this list, and as soon as you see an opening to get Nintendo Land on, you're ready to boot Hitman.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to throw this out there. You like Nintendo Land more than everybody.
Yeah, it's totally true.
You are the top person. So don't act like we're some sort of unfair, crazy minority who's railing against the majority who thinks Nintendo Land is a masterpiece.
It's a goddamn masterpiece, and I'll tell you why. You want to know why? I can just play this all day long, and we could go back to the soundtrack if you want.
So look, our three games are Halo 4, Hitman Absolution, and Journey. Mm. Any questions?
Yeah, why?
Because they're the three best. Any other questions?
I think that we should have a co-op category.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Don't get to do that.
You weaselly son of a bitch.
So if we had a co-op category, then Journey wouldn't be nominated for multiplayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really, that's weird how that works out.
Well, now that shakes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
I would nominate Spec Ops The Line multiplayer over Nintendo Land at this point, just to spite you.
Yeah,
and
you'd be
there in line.
Spec Ops The Line is really fun when you play it with people, you know?
I mean, that multiplayer is so generic, it's a great social commentary.
That too.
Look, I put that into account when I place Spec Ops for the record.
Okay, yeah. Good for you. But that's not the conversation we're having. In fact, the conversation we were having has ended.
Yeah, you're right, because we're making a co-op category.
No,
we're
not.
And we're
not
shifting this whole thing up.
The time for this has passed.
We're gonna throw everything out the window.
Your own weird bullshit needs.
We're going to throw everything out the window. We're going to start. Let's start again. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Error Reports, Game of the Year Podcast Deliberations, Day 1. We got a lot on the table for you this time, and we're going to start off with most disappointing game.
Nintendo Land.
I think you should at least keep Nintendo Land on the nominees list, Evan. Don't
erase it
entirely, you jackass son of a bitch.
Yes, I'm the jackass here.
I want to knock Hitman next.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Let's just hold on. I think this conversation for the winner, because we have our nominees. I think the winner is going to be between Halo and Journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'd give it to Journey myself, even though I love Halo. I think if we're incorporating Spartan Ops, then I definitely think the multiplayer is faulty. That's a fairly, you know,
sure,
decent portion of it. And I think Journey is, you know, just really interesting and great.
I feel like you don't have to play Halo 4. I feel like you don't have to play Spartan Ops at all to get the...
Okay, you don't have to play it, but it is a...
Hey, I feel like you don't have to play
it. Avoidance doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, it's like you can go just play complete competitive and not have any less of a...
Oh, no, I'm not saying that the competitive is anything less than awesome, because it's great arcadey fun. I will stand by that.
It's really good. It is the best Halo multiplayer in some time. even though I've had some weird... like frame rate issues.
So why are we throwing Hitman under the bus now?
Huh?
So why are we throwing Hitman under the bus now?
There's no throwing of anything under the bus. We think these are the three best multiplayer things of the year.
Right, but you said it's between Journey and Halo 4, completely omitting Hitman Absolution from.
Because I think Journey and Halo 4 are better than Hitman. What do you want to hear?
I want to hear why. I still don't think that Journey is better multiplayer than Nintendo Land, so I certainly don't think that it's better than Hitman Absolution.
Okay. Here's why. Hitman Absolution's multiplayer is innovative, and it's interesting, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It is not... I do not consider it of the same importance. I do not consider it to be as integral to Hitman as an experience as Journey's multiplayer is. I think Journey just straight up is not the same game without its multiplayer in a worse way. Game. I think that's not true of Hitman.
Totally the same game. You just walk alone. You are a journey of one. You are the journeyman.
Yeah, see, part of the game is that ability to communicate without words, which is really interesting and something no video game has ever done before.
Yeah, it's all right. No, they did. They totally did. Like, there are so many multiplayer games where you never talk to people because they didn't have voice chat, so...
God damn it.
I think you know what I mean, you piece of shit.
don't listen to him. He's just taking antagonism to the next level because of Nintendo Land.
So I think, you know...
Hitman's because I'm not rooting for any of these anymore, so why not be devil's advocate here?
Hitman's multiplayer is worthy of being on this list because of how well it works in spite of it not seeming like it would to a degree, like that weird, you're just going to play and it'll make a mission. That sounds kind of janky and broken, but it's not, which is really pretty amazing. And sort of the infrastructure they have with challenging your friends to these and just pulling up any contract you want, some made by the developers, some just really high rated from the players.
Or Ryan's, which I totally stomped, by the way.
Yeah, and I think it's a really cool idea, especially because, like, Hitman is not an easy game to add multiplayer to, and I think they came up with a really good idea.
Yeah, they did.
That they really capitalized on.
Some might even say, like, I don't know, the best of the
so
year.
So what, now you're backing Hitman?
because no, you're just trying to throw Hitman under the bus.
The worst, just most stubborn, just...
No, I don't care strongly for any of these, like, any of these three. So I'm just...
You would have pushed for Nintendo Land to win this category.
No. I just wouldn't have talked.
You felt pretty goddamn strongly about Nintendo Land, so...
No, I wouldn't have talked. I want it to be on the list. It's not the best of the year. I want it to be on the list.
It is on the list.
It's not on the list anymore. It is not one of the three.
It has a lot to
it. I want it to be one of the three.
No.
Like, that was me arguing through Nintendo Land. These three games... I don't care enough about their multiplayer aspects to really, like, argue for them.
I don't understand how somebody could like Journey a lot and not care about its multiplayer aspect.
Yeah.
Multiplayer is really great in Journey because you do the thing with the other guy, but whatever. Like,
wow.
You can do the thing.
That explains multiplayer in every game. You're doing a thing with another guy.
Yeah, if you really drill it down, that means that Halo 4 is just you doing a thing with a guy, but Hitman, you're doing a thing to spite a guy.
So are we in agreement about Journey winning best multiplayer?
So Hitman should win, really.
Okay, you two think that because I
do. You feel strongly about Halo?
I feel more strongly about Halo than Journey, but I can see the argument for Journey.
I mean, because honestly, for me, it's just like Halo's an amazing refinement, but it's still a refinement. Mm-hmm. Like the new stuff Journey does, I think is impressive.
I can, like I said, I can see that argument, and I will not throw a fit like some
I'm not
people.
Throwing a goddamn fit. I'm having, like, we're talking about video games. I mean, if there's a really good video game with really good multiplayer, I'm gonna fucking talk about it.
Okay, that's right. Fine. That's fine. This is fine.
We're all family here, Clint.
Oh, fuck you.
There's no issue here.
Clint, do you want to go play some Nintendo Land multiplayer?
Yes.
Oh wait, you can.
Yeah, I can.
Thank you that there is online multiplayer.
I can go do my next door neighbor. Hey, you want to play some Nintendo Land multiplayer?
And yeah, like in the good old 50s.
Yeah, totally can.
No, that's online bullshit. They're when nice men were people. Men and
yep.
When all that was there was friend codes.
Exactly.
Those were the days.
So yeah. So Journey's winning, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty strongly about
okay, that's fine. Like I said, I'm not gonna
even as someone who really has spent more time playing Halo 4 than I thought I would. I think Journey's really remarkable.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So Journey. So Aeronaut fans, best multiplayer of the year, Journey, runners up, Halo 4 and Hitman Absolution.
Mm-hmm. And Nintendo Land.
Congratulations, and Nintendo Journey. Land.
This is the one category where we're going to have four. Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome.
God damn it.
I'm supportive.
This is how he got to be senior editor.
All right. So we're moving on to surprise of the year. Now, before I list these nominees, is there anything that anybody wants to add?
Is this like games we weren't expecting to be as good as they are?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So then, these aren't just games that I didn't know about until I played them.
Yeah, exactly. Because I could.
I think games you know about, like
games that Hotline Miami went into
surprise.
I know. Which is
of disappointing. Most disappointing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine then.
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
Okay, we've got. Me neither. Asura's Wrath, The Darkness 2, Sleepy Dogs.
That's it.
I'm going to go with Asura's Wrath.
Ditto.
I agree.
Asura's Wrath wins Surprise of the Year.
Evan, did you want to argue?
I don't. I agree. I don't have an argument.
I really wanted Sleeping Dogs to win, even though I didn't want it to win, just so we could say Sleeping Dogs was the underdog.
but, I think Sleeping Dogs is pretty good. I think The Darkness 2 is surprisingly good. I think that game's story and writing is also surprisingly good. But
yeah, to be clear, I think Sleeping Dogs is a better game than Asura's Wrath, but I went into Asura's Wrath with such a negative mindset, and then I punched a guy in the face and created the universe.
And you punched a guy in the face and created the universe!
So.
That was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, Asura's Wrath wins Surprise of the Year. Moving on to our last category for this episode, this deliberation episode. We've got Most Memorable QuickTime Event.
Memorable. Note, we used the word memorable.
Memorable.
So it does not have to be good.
Right. Resident Evil 6 Rope Climb.
Oh, God.
Resident Evil 6 Gun Friendship.
Oh, boy.
Or Asura's Wrath, you punch someone in the face so hard it creates the goddamn Big Bang.
Yeah. I'll leave you to this.
Asura, you punch someone in the face so you press that B button so hard, you kickstart the universe.
That's amazing, but Gun Friendship, man.
But you punch someone so hard.
Look. Do you remember?
Not just somebody. Can we just say it's not just somebody? You punch God in the face.
You punch God in the face so hard.
And that whole game's about punching gods.
But no, this is the God, one true the God that made everything.
Yeah, okay. This
you
is
break his face and create the Big Bang.
Yeah. I mean, normally it's like, yeah, I punched God, so what? But now.
Yeah, I can't argue against that, except that I don't think I have
laughed so hard.
I don't think I've had a better time with a video game than in the, like, 2.5 seconds and ensuing minute later after that quick time event. Just the build-up to it and how anticlimactic it is and how it, like, has a loading screen lead-in and then a loading screen exit. And just all of it, and then at the end, everything that comes after, where she's on the plane, and Jake's like, "I'll lower my price," and then he rides off in the desert.
But that's not part of the quick time. No.
Yeah, I know. But if you, if you want to be goddamn literal about it, the part where it's the Big Bang isn't part of the quick time either. It's the punching.
Oh. No, but that is a direct result of the quick time event.
Yeah,
so, him. No, him lowering his price.
The quick time event in Resident Evil 6, lowering, dead.
No, him lowering the price isn't part of the quick time event. The quick time event lead up is them pointing the gun at the thing. The quick time event is them firing the gun. The end of that event is him dying.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying that. Well, sure.
Asura's Wrath, you're leading up, You punch someone in the face for the Quick Time event, and then the Big Bang. You punch God in the face, and then the Big Bang. Result of punching God in the face.
Right.
Asura's Wrath and God are battling right now, and on December 21st, after these haven't aired...
Yep.
The Big
Bang. That's fine. Asura's Wrath is fine, but I still think the gun friendship is more memorable.
I'm going to now want to talk about the gun friendship. I want to talk about it.
Do you want to talk about it?
I want to talk about it.
Do you want to talk about it, or do you want to, like, say, I want this to win?
No, I want to talk about it. Okay. I don't know what I want to win now.
Oh, okay.
Look.
You're shooting this guy, right? Let me lay down the scene for you. So you're shooting this guy, and you're like, shit, he's not dying. And this guy, you've tried to battle through the entire game. Each time you end up defeating him, but then he just gets right back up, right?
Yeah, and it's worth saying that at this point in the game, you are so tired.
Yeah.
So wearied.
Yeah. And
so desperate for anything to break you out of this lull.
And so then you're out of bullets. You have one bullet left, and you look at your co-op partner, and you know it's the end. You're laying down. You hold the gun. You study the gun for her, and you say, fuck you. And then you fire. You don't say fuck you. Then you fire the gun together. That bullet is just like every other bullet. All it does is just go, psst, and then but for some reason, that bullet is just entwined with the love and the friendship of these two characters, and that causes him to topple over and burn into the fiery explosion that's behind you.
For real this time.
As you're surfing up a fucking tunnel.
Look, it's... Even the description does not do it justice, because it is so poorly done. It is so just... Once again, it, like, fades to black out of the cutscene, and then it comes back up, and you have to both hit the B button at the same time, and then it cuts back to black. And that's the last thing you do in that campaign of Resident Evil 6.
You press the B button?
They decided that was a good way to end.
Wait. You press the B button?
Yeah.
I press the trigger.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know.
There's a whole level of depth to this that we haven't even touched.
You were playing Jake, and so you were steadying the gun and I was firing it.
Look at that.
Oh my god.
Revolutionary.
Holy fucking shit. But is it as cool as punching God?
And if you want to talk about build up, you just coming from the Asura's Wrath one, you just finished fighting God in basically limbo in his ultimate destroyer form. As you're fighting this guy that you have no right to fight, who has been pulling the strings of the entire story, you decide, I'm going to punch his giant face.
Literal strings, because he's a spider and he has his web string stuff.
Look, I don't think anybody here is arguing that the gun friendship quick time event is as cool as the Asura's Wrath quick time event. It is the opposite. Mm-hmm. It is,
what about
Asura's Wrath builds
thing?
Up to the coolest point in the game, whereas Resident Evil 6 builds up to just like a flaccid goddamn dick.
So Matthew, as you asked, the rope climb is like the Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater ladder climb, but like 1,000 times more egregious.
It's the worst. It's like, because they don't tell you well on the screen how you're supposed to do it. It's just like, oh, alternate left trigger and right trigger.
But you have to hold down both,
then let go of the left trigger.
And then hold it back down.
Again, and then let go of the right trigger. And it's awful. And whenever you mess up, you fall like 30 feet. You have to do it all over again.
I think... If we're going most memorable, punching God in the face and creating the Big Bang.
Yeah, I don't think I can argue against that.
Yeah. So
that goddamn gun friendship, though. Let me tell you.
I know. We're gonna rank these because it's the only one that we should rank. So number one, number two, and number three.
Sort of ranked all of these.
Yes, but this is the only one that we're actually putting numbers behind. So. Okay. Aeronaut Found's most memorable QuickTime event goes to Asura's Wrath punch God in the face so hard it creates the goddamn Big Bang.
Even just reading it is funny.
I know. Number two is Resident Evil 6 Gun Friendship, and number three is Resident Evil 6 Rope Climb.
Whew. Oh,
man, the trouble with women, am I right?
The white man's burden.
That's it. That's all for this episode, this deliberation day.
See you tomorrow,
for freaks. Hot shit.
I'm going to start calling our listeners freaks. Is that okay?
No, it's not.
It's like, but it's supposed to be like a loving.
So like freaks and geeks?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See you later, nerds.
Hey, whatever. We're part of the nerd machine, because I'm Zachary Levi, and I'm kicking ass. Yeah.
Zachary Levi was pretty bad at the VGAs.
Yeah, he's pretty bad all the time now. I really liked him in Chuck, but...
But then he thought that nerds needed to be a thing in everywhere.
Did he not realize... Like, he was like, nerds need to be a brand. We need like, shirts and shit for nerds. Did he not think Think Geek was real? Like, was that just a dream to him?
Yeah.
I don't know. You think that it's going to be 24 hours till the next one of these posts, but it's actually going to be... We're going to be talking about these right after this one.
Oh,
so,
God damn it.
Stay tuned.
Nintendo Land's a piece of shit.
Nintendo Land is best multiplayer game of the year. Hey, Evan, run down the winners.
Right. Okay. Aeronaut Found's most disappointing game of the year... is Assassin's Creed 3, runners-up, Final Fantasy 13-2, and Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Assassin's Creed 3, worst game of the year.
2012's 20-aught game of the year, winner is Persona 3, Shin Megami Woo! Tensei Persona 3 Fest.
Woohoo! Yukari-chan, yeah!
Runners-up, Shin Megami Tensei Persona 4, not Fest, and Silent Hill Shattered Memories. Best soundtrack, winner is Hotline Miami, runners-up, Fez and Mass Effect 3. Best multiplayer of the year, winner is Journey, runners-up, Halo 4 and Hitman Absolution.
And Nintendo
surprise of the year is Asura's Wrath, runners-up, The Darkness 2 and Sleeping Dogs. Then the most memorable QuickTime event is Asura's Wrath, punch God in the face so hard it creates the goddamn Big Bang, runners-up. Resident Evil 6 is Gun Friendship and Rope Climb.
We'll see you guys for round two.
Peace. Check it out.
Ding, ding, ding.